Some of your comments here. If Hamas can smuggle in thousands upon thousands of rockets into Palestine, I'm sure they have no problem getting in a bit of food and water. They want to see Palestinians killed to stir up hatred against Israel, believes a listener. Iran is assisting them in the transport of weapons, many feel. But to be able to smuggle food to feed many millions, I'm not sure. I abhor, condemn the killing of all innocent human beings, says the listener. How can you applaud Sinn Féin and People Before Profit? They've no problem with abortion, the cruel killing of thousands of helpless little babies. Refer to mothers, referring to Mother Teresa's quote. Thank you for speaking the truth about Palestine. The Western media in general have a narrative that's repeated daily, full of untruths and propaganda. I pray for the poor Palestinians. Hi, Greg. I was just comparing the size of the Gaza Strip to parts of Donegal. The Gaza Strip would fit into Inishowen twice. Dreadful what's going on, and these people have nowhere to go. I think people don't realise, or maybe they are beginning to realise, how many people are jammed into a tiny little space that they can't move from, really at all. Anne's with us now. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. We're talking about the fuel allowance, Anne. What's your view on it?
Well, it's the cap that they have on the means testing as far as the fuel allowance is concerned. They have a cap on it of 500 per week. And anything over that, then you're not entitled to the fuel allowance. I would be a 75-year-old lady and quite active, thank God. I'm lucky. But I would with the fuel allowance being means tested, they don't take into consideration any outgoings that somebody would have. So, I am slightly over, which means I'm not entitled to the fuel allowance at this age. And it's not just me that I'm speaking for. I'm speaking also for people that would be in the bracket of maybe 20,000 annually, which is not an awful lot in this day and age to be living on with the price of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have an awful lot of outgoings in the line of my rent, my messages, my home secure to keep my house safe, my petrol tax on my car, insurance, car loan, my coal. I have loans in a few loans in the credit union, home insurance, oil, electric, just to name a few, you know, and I'm sure everybody is in the same boat as myself with maybe something similar, mm-hmm. which leaves you over the 500 bracket. You know, and with them doing what they've done at the moment, they haven't even looked at that. They have that cap on it of 500, which I feel they should have done something about that, and they haven't done.
Yeah, and it's 1,000 for a couple, just in case anyone's listening. Whilst they won't take into consideration your outgoings, what they do take into consideration, though, is any savings one might have for a rainy day, or for inheritance purposes or whatever it might be. The cost of your property, anything over €50,000 is counted, by the way, or any investments. Really, they don't mind...
I'm not on that bracket, Greg.
I understand that. But my point being, Anne, is that you are assessed for what you might have in terms of collateral, but you're not assessed... because a lot of those aren't actual money that you can access on a weekly basis, but you're not assessed for your outgoing. So, in other words, it's not equal, is it? It doesn't have a fair
exactly.
representation of people's different positions.
That's exactly my point. And I'm still going to try and see, what I can do about this. I'll go to Citizens Advice again on the situation and see if they have anything they can throw light on that I can put forward to them. At this stage, I don't think so. But, in the winter time, I would burn at least two bags. They want us to burn the smokeless fuel, which at the moment it's €23 a bag, mm-hmm. Which is reduced at the moment. But it will be going back up again as the winter goes on. Like last year, that bag of fuel was €28.50. Mm-hmm. So I've burned at least two, if not going on to my third, if the weather's bad.
That's €60 a week. And the thing what I don't understand about it, Anne, is the big push on at the moment that's going to become ever more so as we move forward is encouraging people or compelling them to contribute to their own pension, which presumably for many people might bring them towards or over that €500 per week, whereas it's another argument to say, well, maybe I'm better off not doing it. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but it's not it's not incentivizing people, is it, to sort of contribute to their retirement if it's used against you then for an allowance like heating your home?
Well, why don't they even look at the fact that, you know, like, people have done their work all their life, they've paid all their dues, and they come to their pension age and they get their pension. Now, I worked in with the health service all my life. Like, I mean, it was Donegal County Council, then it went on to the divisionals of the North Western Health Board, etc., and then the HSE. And I worked right up until I had about 33 and a half years service, and then I had to go out early because I had arthritic issues going on. It was work related, you know, like, I mean, I worked as a clerical officer and with your head bent forward, you know, like, I had this thing going on with my neck and I was worried sick that it would end up bent.
Yes.
And my fingers, the joints in my fingers, like, there's a lot of arthritic problems in my mother's side of the family. So I had these issues that I couldn't close even my forefinger whenever I was writing, you know, and it was just to do with wear and tear at work, you know, not that you just done it. But whenever you come to this age of 66 or whatever and you get your pension and then you go on to 70 and there's these different incentives of being able to get your fuel allowance or you go on to your 70 plus, why did they not even look at the fact that, you know, whenever you're 70 or 70 plus, that they lifted the cap? Because if you worked in a job, in a government job, you're paying your dues all your life, or any other work-related situation, you're paying your dues all your life. You paid your tax, you paid your stamp and all of that there to be able to have these extras whenever you got to your pension age. Why did they not sort of think and look at it with 70, maybe 70 plus, we lift the cap slightly and maybe give an allowance of not this 500, but maybe head it up to about 650 to 700. Mm. Like, it's not as if you're asking them to do too much, but a little bit to give that leeway for people that were in these sort of jobs that was going to knock them. I think it's sad that you go into your older years and there's these little perks, but you can't get them.
Yeah. And even in your case, it would only help because it would pretty much cover one bag of the two bags that you would use in a week. It's €33 for 12 weeks. So you're not looking for a freebie. You're looking for some help, a return on your contribution, however one wants to describe it. Whilst you were speaking, and I was listening to you intently, I was going through the NFS2 form, which you have to fill out if you're over 70 for the fuel allowance. And everything is about how much you have, any income, pensions from outside Ireland, other payments from inside Ireland, and nothing, of course, as you've already pointed out, Anne, that takes into consideration the growing cost of living, your outgoings.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
If they even had made an allowance of about 150 onto that itself, you know, or even 200, that's not an awful lot. Like, because even listening to the budget at the minute, there's things that they're doing, and I just feel so angry. Like, you know, I really do feel angry, and I'm not the only one.
Yeah, what's bothering you, Anne?
It's bothering me trying to keep on top of my financial situation because I would have had commitments that I'm able to cover, but it's just that it would have been nice to be able to get my fuel allowance. That's just all I was asking for, and I don't think it was an awful lot in all the years that I've worked and paid my dues to just ask for €33 a week extra.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and when you're in your working years, you don't really anticipate this stuff. I don't think people consider it. It kind of comes, it hits you. You know, if you're lucky enough to live into your 70s or 80s and are in good health, you know, when you're in your 30s and 40s, you're really considering what life might be like. Did you have a different notion of what life might be like post-retirement, Anne?
Yeah.
You know?
I just feel saddened by it, you know.
Let down, I think, is another
extremely disappointed, to be quite honest. I am extremely disappointed, but I will do a paper trail on it and see where I can go with it, you know. If I can do it for somebody else, if it doesn't work for me, maybe it might do something for somebody else, you know, and if it does, it does.
Well, stay in touch with us, Anne, if there's any information you want us to get out there if in your endeavours, okay?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Anne. Okay. Thanks very much.
That's lovely, Greg. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Okay. A caller says, I'm with Air for decades. I discovered something this year that my contract end date was the 15th of October. I contacted Air on the 20th of September and got a new contract. My next bill, I discovered the price changed to out of contract. Spent days on it, onto Air, but I only got a goodwill credit, which didn't make up total my perceived loss. The price change in contract is due to the method how Air issue bills, which is 1 month in advance. So beware and contact Air a month prior to the end of your contract. Could you call back and tell me on the quiet what you're paying and for what services? If you don't mind, just for the crack, and we'll see how much above what potentially you could be paying, you're paying, because you've been with them for decades. So if you don't want to, that's fine. The information is not for publication or anything as such, but what are you paying Air and what services are you getting? 086, well, you know the number. Get back in touch with us. You only require an ADR to carry fuel if you have the capacity to carry more than 999 litres. I love this programme, you know. People have so much information. I couldn't figure out how people could transport fuel from a service station pump to their home if you required a licence. So that kind of answers that. I appreciate it. Early years childcare, advanced course, third years in the ATU that were being taught in the Northwest Regional College. Started 3 weeks ago with four students, numbers from before the course began. Email received by the students last night to say that they were cancelling the course due to the low numbers. They gave an option to defer or to go into second year in the Letterkenny campus, meaning participants would have to repeat a year. Any more information on that? Now, it doesn't affect a lot of people, but what's going on? We need lots of people trained in those areas. Hi Greg, I was in hospital at the weekend because a hospital consultant advised my GP that I needed to be admitted due to concerning blood results. I had a relatively short wait in the ED, 9 hours to get a bed. The bed was at the end of a corridor with a screen in front of it. I was admitted on Saturday and discharged on Monday evening. I didn't see the consultant I needed to see and was sent home with a prescription and the promise of an outpatient's appointment. Fortunately, my GP is excellent and is trying her best to make sure I'm okay. I feel for the GPs who now have to try and manage issues which should be managed by consultants. I think the principals, says another listener, I think the principals in secondary schools should be lectured on the drugs problems facing young people. It starts well before college. It's so offensive to society and ruins lives. More education in schools, is that what you're saying should be done? Jamie's Thank You Weekend is taking place in Burtonport Community Centre this coming Saturday. There'll be an indoor mammy's market, good quality pre-loved baby and children toys, clothes and equipment from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. On Sunday the 15th of October, a vintage tea party from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's in aid of Temple Street Children's Hospital, Bombulance, Little Blue Heroes, Blood Bike Northwest and Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. So it's Jamie's Thank You Weekend taking place, and it is on the dates I just mentioned. I just wanted to double check there. The 14th and 15th of October, this coming weekend. It's in the Burtonport Community Centre, a Mummy's Market. You don't see too many of those, by the way. So get along and you can get your good quality pre-loved baby and children's toys, clothes and equipment from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then a vintage tea party from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on the Sunday. And the this is a thank you to amazing services that we never know when we may use them or need them. We hope that we won't, but all too often we do. Temple Street Children's Hospital, Bombulance, Little Blue Heroes, Blood Bike Northwest, Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. So if you want to support those events, pick up a few things at the Mammy Market and have a vintage tea party on the Sunday, please do so and support Jamie and his thank you through his family. Okay. I'm glad I got to mention that because that's the one I was trying to mention yesterday, but I only had a link. But I have the full thing now, so thanks to Donna Marie for that. Okay, back shortly. Now, if you're a regular listener to this show, you would know that I think we all accept that drugs are rife right across the country. No longer an urban situation, whether that was ever a myth or not, I don't know. But they are available everywhere. And there's so much money in it. The dealers are exploiting every avenue they can to make money. Janine Kennedy is Irish Country Living editor and joins us now. Janine, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Right. Now, your publication has conducted an investigation into drug activity in urban and rural areas. What were the jump out findings for you?
Well, honestly, I think we all are aware basically that drug use is on the rise. Cocaine use in particular is on the rise in the entire country. You know, we always thought it was more of an urban issue, or maybe it was occurring in towns, larger towns.
Well, I think certain classes of people probably, as well, too. That was out there for a long time as well. But sorry, Janine, continue.
Yeah. No, that's totally fine. And you're absolutely right. It was a certain class of people, and certainly it was a more expensive drug on the market. And for farming families in particular, I think a lot of people would have assumed that agricultural families would be kind of far removed from those situations. And I think in recent times, it's been shown that that's just not the case. Increasing use of social media in terms of accessing drugs has made it available anywhere, anywhere in the country and at any time. And what we've learned is that a lot of drug dealers see Irish farms as more like cash availability. So they see us nearly as ATMs. And while we wanted this series to not be an alarmist kind of thing, you know, we're not trying to create headlines or anything, but we did want to create awareness and know that there were supports out there, I suppose, for families who would have been affected by cocaine addiction.
Yeah, and we don't really have an idea of the full extent of it. We know cocaine's readily available. We know it's widely used. We know it's widely used in all areas of society. Do you think then within, say, for instance, the agricultural community, with usage follows addiction, that there is maybe more people than we would have anticipated living in rural farming communities who are addicted to cocaine?
Absolutely. This week, our health writer spoke with Sarah Cassidy, who works in rehabilitation, and she was saying that it has become increasingly the case that she's dealing with young farmers, generally aged between 18 and 30. They're the most often impacted. And what she's saying is that they will start with something else, maybe a gateway drug like marijuana, and move on to those kinds of things. But the problem is that, you know, with any kind of addiction, there are going to be things like relationship breakdowns. On farms, there are additional problems. You know, it can affect things like succession. It can affect familial breakdown. It can put family farms into serious debt as well. And it can also increase on-farm accidents or the occurrence of an incidence of on-farm accidents. So it is really something for farming families to consider, and also know that, I suppose, where in the past few decades people would have wanted to keep this kind of thing quiet, that it's really important. You know, we've become aware of the things like mental health, you know, being able to talk about mental health issues and financial issues. A lot of farmers face these issues, and it's becoming increasingly okay to talk about these things and bring them to your community, your wider community. And this is a similar subject. You know, it's okay to look for help and look for support.
Yeah, because often the evidence shows, and by the way, just for context, we are globally the fourth highest consumers of cocaine in this country. So let there be no doubt, it's a very, very significant problem. But what happens is there's drug usage in the late teens and on through their 20s. And then the problems really start to hit home, you know, in the mid 20s and beyond. At that point, the addiction is well established. The debts have been built up. The real threat to the family asset or the personal assets there, if they're not already gone at that stage, there's a real threat to them there. Not to mention that you're dealing with criminals who will leverage against you to get money from you and keep you addicted.
Yes, and if you read the article in this week's edition, you'll find that in a lot of cases, the guards are quite helpless in this area as well. Not necessarily helpless, maybe that's the wrong word to use, but there hasn't really been a way of getting farming families out of this debt once it's incurred.
Yeah, the hands are
so
tied.
We're talking tens of thousands of euro, up to 30,000 in some cases. And, you know, it becomes an additional stress, and it really, really impacts farming families. So in addition to needing to go to rehabilitation, you're also dealing with the stress of this debt.
So obviously Irish Country Living is doing its bit in investigating this and highlighting it. Is it time that we saw more activity, I wonder, from farming groups to sort of say, right, okay, there's some evidence now that there is an issue and we need to offer pathways and support and signposting for people who, before they find themselves in a difficult situation that's more difficult to get out of?
Absolutely. And aside from we've listed in the article some areas where people can go for help if they feel like there might be a problem within their family, with a loved one, or with themselves even. But for farming organizations around the country to be aware that this is happening on farm, and to encourage, in the same way, like I said, that we've developed these mental health programs for farmers, these physical health programs for farmers, we also need to approach addiction. And it's honestly, it's not just cocaine. You know, there are serious gambling addictions that we need to deal with, alcoholism. And all of these addictions are an illness at the end of the day, and they need support to be able to get out of these problems, these situations. So I think that there's a huge amount of work that we can do within the farming or community ourselves to make it okay for people to come forward and say, I have this problem and I need help.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting point that we don't hear enough of, Janine, because, you know, society's set up that people will be judged or scrutinised or whatever, and that could be a barrier to seeking help. Okay, people can read more, of course, in this week's Irish Country Living. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Janine Kennedy there, 086 60 25,000, if that something affects you or you have a say on that. Hi, Greg. Can you ask your listeners, did anyone notice a string of lights going across the sky last night at around 8:45 p.m.? If you did, and they do pass over here from time to time, it's 99% likely that that was Starlink satellite, the satellite broadband system that operates in our orbit. And it does cross over Donegal, especially when they're launched. After they're launched, they're in low orbit for a while. They cross over us and then they go up higher and then we can't see them. So anytime that a string of lights has been observed above us, I've been able to check back, and it coincided with a launch of Elon Musk's Starlink satellites. So I would suggest that's what that is. A caller says, my husband gets illness benefit for himself, me and two children. We don't get fuel allowance. My council house has not been tested. Although I have alerted Donegal County Council, they've now filled the many cracks and are going to paint over it. Like papering over the cracks probably has, Micah. Thank God, due to being unable to pay a mortgage, I sold the property back to DCC a few years back, and that I have no children or a partner to worry about the future. When the cracks open up and the nightmare experiences and financial and health safety horror stories that I've heard about all over Donegal and Ireland, my fear is that the politicising by going for election will divide the opposition and stall the decline of the political parties that are currently in government and oversaw the crisis unfolding and sat on their hands, as this caller sees it, for many years. The council, you heard in the news there, the council's hands are somewhat tied in what they can do as well. I do know they're calling out to people's properties, and if there is remedial work that can be done, they are doing so. But the department, and just heard from Donal here, and we can have a look at this now. Department approval still not received for DCC remediation of social houses affected by defective blocks. I'll read the story here just to put a bit of context from Donal. It's emerged that the government still hasn't fully approved the Donegal County Council programme to address the impact of defective blocks on its own social housing stock. The programme was submitted 2 years ago this month. There's an extensive report from Donal Kavanagh on our website, highlandradio.com, on that story. So that's why the council can't do anything, because the housing department has yet to approve their remediation plan of their own property. What a fantastic interview. Thank you, Greg, for the insight. Is that the interview we had as it relates to the Middle Eastern crises? It's a shocking and sad testimony to humanity that Israel is being cheered on by some international leaders, corporate leaders and the mainstream media as it commits genocide in Gaza, justified by the heading of the right to defend itself. While the actions of Hamas cannot be condoned, it's not surprising they acted as they did. That line is again where I feel a bit uncomfortable that at any point to go in and kill innocent people, men, women, children, babies. I know you're not condoning it, and I know you say you're not surprised by it, but I don't know. It's just horrific what's been going, the videos that have been shared. But reading on, and my apologies, Israel has illegally occupied Palestinian lands and inflicted horrific human rights abuses upon the civilians of Palestine for decades. Blockades, preventing access to medical aid, construction materials and machinery, regular cutoffs of power and water supply, illegal eviction of Palestinian families with their homes handed to Jewish settlers, regular shooting of unarmed children, abduction of children and detention in jail, targeting of women and children by snipers. UN and Amnesty International reports proving all of this, all ignored for decades by world leaders and the media. And on it goes. It's a long message, and I think I've got the crux of it out there. But thank you very much for sending that in. Now, just before the break, Wurski's Christmas lights, you know, the work Wurski's do. Lots and lots of people, it's part of their Christmas to go up and see the lights, but it all has to be funded. And there's a night of music and crack in McGinley's Bar in Kerrykeel. It's tomorrow night, Friday night, from 9 p.m. A host of local musicians and comedians will perform. Okay, well done. Wurski's Christmas lights, night out tomorrow in McGinley's Bar, Kerrykeel, if you want to go along. Rightio, let's go to Donegal Town. It's Mayor Pádraig Kennedy joins us on the show now. Good morning, Pádraig.
Good morning, Greg, and congratulations on your award at the weekend and your team. It's a well-deserved award.
Appreciate it, Pádraig. You're very kind. Right, OK. What's going on in Donegal Town at the moment in terms of traffic?
Well, it's kind of a bit up in the air at the minute, Greg. We're doing a new one-way system, and I guess it's probably just a bit up in the heap at the minute, just people getting used to the whole layout of it and all, you know. But I do think when it does settle down, I do think it will be a good job and it will help the flow of traffic around the town.
Now, people might get confused and say, sure, it's one way around the diamond already. So, Pádraig, what has changed? What area is one way now?
Well, it will be, you can turn right down by the old Ulster Bank and then you'll turn left going across Castle Street, and you can take a left again and that'll take you back onto the diamond, but you can't come leave the diamond and go over.
So you can't any longer come in from Killybegs, turn left at Timoney's there and park at the post office. You would have to go round the diamond, turn left at Charlie's there and back up the other way.
Yeah, okay. And you can't go over to Connell Street. You know, if you were going over to the Bosco Centre or over the Mart, you can't leave the diamond and go over past the old post office or the past the castle there. Yeah. That's one way coming into the town, you know. And I suppose we knew it was coming, and I guess you know, everyone was notified about it. But I suppose when it happened then, it kind of just caused a whole heap of turmoil for a while. But I think it is settling down, and I know with the help of Emer and the Livestock Mart and Shauna and Pádraig in the Bosco Centre, they have opened up their gates and help alleviate the parking, you know, and it all will settle down.
So what problem do you believe this, and I know you're not responsible for this, but what problem do you believe this was trying to fix?
I think it probably is, you know, thankfully we have a problem in Donegal with people and business and people coming through the town, and it was up in a heap. And I suppose this is part of the whole plan. They're going to redevelop the diamond and down at the pier. And I guess, and I know that they're in talks too with the buses to maybe build a new bus stop or a new bus station to take the buses off the diamond. And that will help it all as well. It's all part of the plan, you know, and I do think overall It will be a great job for Donegal, and you know, we're welcome it.
But say, for instance, you're coming in down past the chapel, you're coming from the Letterkenny direction and you wanted to go to the castle, right? Okay.
Yes.
You would, I think automatically you'd probably drive past the turn off down past the old Ulster Bank and you would drive round the diamond and then you get to the right-hand turn there at the castle bar and there's no entry there. So
no entry there.
So at that point then you're expected then to drive out to the roundabout and go round the town again?
No, well you could just proceed on and take the next right and then that'll take you down around New Row there, and you could park down around New Row there, down near the Forge Bar and down along there, you know, and go up the steps to the castle that way, I suppose. It sounds complicated at the minute, but you know what? It will blend itself to the one-way system. But I suppose the fear is that, you know, it could take away some of the character, a bit like Main Street Letterkenny. You know, Letterkenny Main Street was always a bustling Main Street, and then it sort of, you know, went one way, and then it sort of tried to do away with all parking on the Main Street, you know. So you're afraid. It's a balancing act of all of that, really. Yeah. You know?
As I say, and I'm not trying to be objectional, Park. I'm trying to figure if the problem it's fixing, because, you know what I mean? Obviously, with any change, you want to progress. But I'm trying to think of all the times I've driven around Donegal Town, what problem this has been identified and what's being fixed here. Stay with me, Porrig. Raymond Rooney's owner of Peter Mann Shop there, which you would know was opposite the old Ulster Bank, which we were just talking of. Raymond, what is... Firstly, do you know why they've done this?
Well, Greg, I'm not privy to all the conversations in the council, but the reality is it's to ease congestion around town. And in reality, if you think about it, next year Donegal Town is 550 years old, and all the roads are quite narrow in their design, and they're not designed for two-way traffic for buses and heavy goods vehicles. And for me, the council are, what they're doing is that they're designing a town, a traffic management plan that's going to be sustainable today and tomorrow and the next 20 years. And every busy town, and Donegal Town is a successful busy town, every busy town, be it Letterkenny, Sligo, or everywhere, how they manage congestion around the town is that they introduce one-way systems, and we're no different. We're probably a victim of our own success that we're busy and successful.
Are they going to stop buses parking outside the hotels there, I wonder, or the double parking that takes up one lane all the time?
To be honest, I'm not too sure, but... That's the elephant in the room. In reality, what they've done by putting all the traffic up Tyrconnell Street and onto the Diamond, they have hastened a decision that will come that they have to address, and that's the buses on the Diamond, double parking at the Bank of Ireland, all that. You know, they've.
But those are the root causes. They're the root causes of the congestion, as far as I can see, as a road user.
That's one of the issues. All right, I think for me it's narrow streets and delivery trucks and buses trying to get up and down, and the roads weren't designed 550 years ago to be used for heavy goods vehicles. So I think it's just a reality that.
Okay, well, we're at two stages at the moment. The work's ongoing at the moment, or it's bedding in, maybe might be a better way to describe it. What is the feedback from the business community as to any impact it's having?
Oh, well, in reality, obviously, parking has now been reduced. Donegal Town was always a difficult place to park. Obviously, during construction, a lot of the on-street parking will now disappear. So that's made a difficult situation, more difficult. I have heard rumours, I don't know how true or not it is, that St John Bosco have been approached maybe to open up their parking space for the duration of the construction, but that's only just a rumour. I heard that the other day, but I don't know. But anything that the council could do or to alleviate parking during construction and even after construction. Okay, I've been on your show before talking about parking.
Of course, Raymond. And where is the park? Where is the park? Just for people that want to go in there and shop and visit and what have you, because you know yourself and Park does too. Lots of people love to visit Donegal. What parking at the moment has been lost?
Well, on-street parking, let's say Tyrconnell Street, on-street parking, as you said, as they bed in their construction and as they commence digging the road, so all the... and widen the footpaths, all the on-street parking that would have been there will disappear.
It's a major effort, no doubt. And so, Raymond, once it's completed, what kind of are you satisfied it won't have a negative impact on businesses? Do you think it will make Donegal Town even more popular?
I think it's I'm absolutely in for it. I think it will ease congestion on the smaller streets. It will create a flow of traffic. But like I said before, unless they address the elephant in the room, which is the double parking of buses and double parking in and around the Diamond area, any progress will halt unless that's addressed. And the council know well. They do know well. We've all been lobbying them for years, and they're well aware of it.
Right. So in other words, the full benefits of this new one-way system and the movement of traffic won't be felt until such time as people desist from double parking at the AIB, as you mentioned there, and also the heavy bus traffic that's there as well.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's exactly it.
All right, Raymond, listen, thanks very much for that. Owner of Peter Mann's shop, which is opposite the old Ulster Bank there. Thanks very much, Raymond. Porrick, so do you think that's the general sentiment that, you know, obviously these are the cracked eggs for the omelette that we're chewing on at the moment, and when it all beds in and when that work's finished, that the town will be better for it?
Oh, I think, you know, for the pedestrians and all that, and as Raymond said, the flow of the traffic will ease, you know, it will assist in the flow of the traffic around the town and stuff, you know. And I guess the council definitely needs to take a look at either we put a multi-story car park somewhere or develop
You and I are both old enough to know the plans for that. I think there were plans for that.
There was,
a few times in different places, but anyway, maybe we're in a different era now.
Someday it'll have to come around because, you know, it's not that cars are getting less and less, it's more and more. And, you know, I hope that the council are looking after the residents on these streets as well, you know, and assisting them, and that, you know, that the traffic warden has a bit of sympathy too with people as well over this time as well, you know.
Some might say that's a bit of an oxymoron there, but I understand the point that you're trying to make. Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Listen, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate you taking the call, and thanks to Raymond as well.
Congratulations again to you and your team.
It's very, very nice of you to say. Thanks, Porrig, the mayor of Donegal Town there. Now, we were talking about the changes to the traffic layout, road layout in Donegal Town. One of the issues raised there was the issue of buses parking on the Diamond. Very convenient, of course, but it does interfere with the flow of traffic. And we do know plans are afoot. I'm not sure if they were mentioned. Plans are afoot for a new transport hub for Donegal Town. The buses eventually will be moved off the Diamond to where I can't think of just off the top of my head. But I wanted to speak to Stella from Stella's Boutique. Hi, Stella. No, it's line. Stella, you're there. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Finally, I get to speak to you. How have you found footfall business has been since this work began?
I'd say it has dipped a bit, but footfall, it's mid-October, so it's going
hard to judge, isn't
from,
it?
Yeah. You know, it's hard to judge. And to be quite honest with you, I will happily tolerate the disruption now for a more efficient system in the future. And, you know, I mean, if we deal with the bus situation, and hopefully this work that's going on now will create the flow so that the buses will be able to move. Because up until now, you couldn't put them anywhere else because they wouldn't be able to go. The flow wasn't there.
Yeah.
So if that happens and we get more parking, I think it'll all be for a positive result.
Yeah, because all towns are busy towns. It's great that they're busy, but Donegal Town can be a little bit like others too. There are no-go times, or it feels like that, you know, and you would often see cars on the approaches when it's clear there's a few buses about and it's generally busy doing a U-turn and heading off, you know, whatever their business might be. You don't want to see people being discouraged like that, do you? You want, especially with a bypass town, you want as much flow of traffic as possible.
Exactly. And like, we have two hotels on the Diamond, and both hotels host bus tours, and there's nowhere else for them to go. They have to drop them off and pick them up outside there. But it all happens, it seems to happen at the same time as CI or Bus Éireann buses are coming. So it does create a total gridlock.
Yeah. And you and then throw in taxis and local link and the school transport.
Yes,
exactly.
Everything. Yeah. Yes.
And it can't be that's good and that what have you, but it has to be to the benefit of all businesses, and it just requires a little bit of reorganisation. So you're welcoming the works. Anything that increases the flow of traffic through the town and stopping in the town is to be welcomed, and you're prepared to suffer this inconvenience, which is actually not at a bad time, I suppose, maybe, rather than in the peak of season. You're happy enough to go along with it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Where are you located, Stella, for those who want to visit you?
I'm just on the edge of the diamond, just between Triona Design and the Blueberry Tea Rooms.
Beautiful. Just on the corner.
Get a nice cup of coffee and, yeah.
And what kind of stuff do you sell, Stella? What kind of stuff do you sell?
I sell all sustainable clothing. Ladies' clothes. The only thing I'll do for you, Greg, is a pair of socks. Men's organic cotton socks.
As long as they're organic and sustainable, that'll do. So it's Stella for all your sustainable clothing needs. Okay, Stella, listen, hopefully a few people will pop down and see you now too as well. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate
thank you, Greg.
It. Take
okay,
care.
Thank you.
That's
no
Stella of Stella's Boutique. Thanks to Raymond Rooney of Petermann's, another good outlet, and also Porrick Kennedy, who was on discussing that stuff with us as well. Right, shall we go to some comments? Greg, in relation to the mental health crisis, I studied for 5 years to become a psychologist. I spent 2 years an assistant psychologist and then had to leave because I don't have a doctorate. I applied for it 4 years in a row, but there's only 9 places per year in most universities, and the course is mentally and physically tough. So I've all this experience and a master's degree that I can't use. How frustrating is that? Another caller says, there are 15 ramps from the top of Glen Car to the cathedral. I personally go over them 4 times every day, and I have no doubt it's not good for my car. I would love to know what do our taxis think, as I'm sure they go over them a lot more than I do. Could our council not put up a number of speed cameras, as I'm fully supportive of slow driving in our towns? I would say if you spoke to taxi drivers that operate in urban areas with ramps versus those that operate outside, there's little bushings and what have you in parts of the four corners that would go more routinely, I would imagine, around an urban area than they might in a, where it's more rural driving. But then again, I suppose that rural driving can also create its challenges. I just want to mention a couple of competitions, if you don't mind. Well, one competition, but also that social media competition is still running, isn't it, Anya? It is, of course. Right, I'll mention that in a moment. But I just want to give this a quick mention too. If you're a fan of musicals, you're going to be a fan of Sister Act. It's a divine musical comedy. Eagerly anticipated brand new production of the Broadway smash hit musical Sister Act. It's on its way to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin. Now, we've had great interest in this. So if you want to be part of the Highland Radio family heading down to Dublin, please get your calls in as soon as you can, because it's a cracking Christmas present. You can join Highland Radio as we make this unforgettable trip to the show on Friday the 23rd of February 2024, which I think is 74 days to Christmas, you know. So the end of February, just around the corner. The trip, what does it include? Luxury transfers, coach travel down there, bed and breakfast at the 4-star City North Hotel in Dublin. You get a really good ticket for the show. So if you want to get on a bus, be taken down there, parked outside the hotel, you get in, have your bed and breakfast, your great ticket to the show, and then a few hours the following morning for a bit of shopping. Sounds lovely for the end of February, doesn't it? Well, if you want to get it for someone as a Christmas present or just to treat yourself, 074-9125000 with more information. 074-9125000. Or you can also visit our website, highlandradio.com. So I just wanted to mention this social media competition that's running as well. It's in association with our friends at Foy & Company. So Foy & Company are giving one of you, a lucky winner, the chance to win. Well, if you are the lucky winner, you've won it already. But they're giving you, one of you, the chance to win a €200 voucher to spend in one of their stores. To be in with a chance of winning, you just head on over to our socials and follow the rules over there. Make sure you are following both Foy & Company and Highland Radio on both Instagram and Facebook. That's Highland Hub, by the way. The winner will be announced on Monday, the 16th of October. T's and C's apply. Now, this is a very important thing, and it's not just for competitions we run here, but I think for lots of people that use social media to run competitions, just to advise you that Winners will only be announced from the Highland Radio official accounts. Some people, with very little time, a lot of time in their hands, create clone pages and send out numerous messages saying, oh, you've won this, that. We will announce it on our page. It will be announced on our page, and that's how you will find out. So please be aware of fake account pages impersonating Highland, but it's not just Highland. It's a whole go of different companies that would run competitions. So get on to our socials, Instagram and Facebook, and you could win that €200 voucher to spend in one of the Foyen Company stores, all right? And all you have to do is follow the tame instructions. Let me see. Donegal Town, fortunate to have a bypass, diverted thousands of cars away from the town centre. Congestion just shows how commercially successful and how busy a tourist hub it is. It's a lovely town to visit, just needs more parking indeed, and it is a lovely town. Right, tomorrow on the programme, we start things off with the Friday panel. We've a great panel, as always, lined up to discuss some of the big stories of the day and week. We want you involved in that. I'll remind you of that in the morning. That's entertainment's coming up tomorrow and so much more besides. So please rejoin us at 9. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a lovely Thursday.